All right, amen. Good to be back here tonight with y'all. And as I said earlier today, I'm really thankful for the invitation to be here in church with y'all. It's been a blessing. And good to see, you know, just y'all plugging along in spite of the way the world is going. I know last time I was here, like I said, it was in March of 2020. It was right before everything, the world went crazy. Amen. And but good to see, man, y'all still going for the Lord. Amen. That's a blessing to me. And I'm glad my wife was able to come with me this trip, amen, and I'm glad that she's, man, my armor bearer, amen, she's mine there, man, and she said, do it all that's in thy heart, I'm with you. I tell you what, man, it's good, man, when your wife is behind you and your family behind you, amen. I tell you what, it puts like wind in your cape,
yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Man, it makes you feel like Superman, amen. All right, if you got your Bible, let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, and preach here, I believe Lord got my heart here. this is a message, kind of a new message. And when I say that, you say, everything's new to you. Well, it ain't new to my wife, amen. All she's ever heard. She's about heard everything I got, amen. And then some, amen. She's all the heard times, man, but all the other stuff. And this was some notes I wrote down on a thought here, and it helped me, and I want to use it to help you. I kind of want to continue on that theme this morning, a little bit about faith. You know, where he said there this morning, you know, that if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, and I want to preach on that same thought, man, you don't need a lot, just a little. And just a little bit of faith that'll help you, man, serve God. I think a lot of times we kind of think that we wait till we get to a certain point in our life, then I'm going to do this. We say that. Lord, I remember as a kid, Lord, I'll surrender my heart when I get this done. And then when I got a teenager, you know, Lord, when I get a job, or Lord God, when I have family, Lord, or when I have a good, sturdy income, Lord, and everybody puts this thing, when I get there, then I'll do that. You know, and the Lord says, no, he said, I ain't looking for you to do all that. He said, if you just got a little bit of faith, he said, man, start now what you got, what little you have, and depend on him, amen, and God will bless that and honor that. And tonight I want to continue that same theme, but let's look at here. If you notice here, the end of Deuteronomy chapter number 31, look at the end of 31 there. Bible says there, and Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. And so chapter 32, we know, is a song of Moses. It's a good song here. He begins to give them a message here. It goes on down there, but we're going to pick it up in verse number 7. The Bible says there, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them upon her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs, the rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. Thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Now, at this portion here, Moses is beginning to this song here, rehearsing a little bit about what God has done for the nation of Israel. And there's a part here that kind of caught my attention here. I remember as a kid, there's an old preacher. He preached a series of messages, and they used to call him the Eagle Preacher. And he preached a lot on the eagle and all things it did, and it always kind of caught my attention. And I remember, you know, reading this part here, just some things I meditate on, thought, and God helped me with, and want to try to give it to you out of that verse number 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. Amen. And I want to preach tonight on this here, when God stirs up your nest. Amen. And I'll try to be a help to you as a church here tonight, all of you. I don't know where you're at when you walk with God. But I want to encourage that walk with God to go forward and onward for the Lord. Amen. You know, that passage there says this, the Lord, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. The Bible says, so the Lord alone did. You know, the Lord's likening himself to an eagle, mother eagle, stirring up the nest. Now, what was the whole idea of that? You know, and what I read about this, about an eagle stirring up nest, eagle, you know, man, lays them eggs, you know, and hatches, and they come out, you know, and for the first while of their life there, the mama eagle goes and starts on what you call just feeding the animals. I don't think I turned this on, I'm sorry. There we go. Now it's on. All right, he starts feeding them little eaglets. She goes, and man, she starts bringing, man, food. She goes out, man, kills, whatever. And man, I tell you what, man, you ever watch an eagle, I know he's sore, but hunt, man, that's one of the greatest things you see, man. They got them slow motion photography now, man. They'll go down there, man, to the lake. Now, to me, that's always impressive. Man, the eyesight of eagles, man, they can see things that you and I can't. And I remember a preacher friend of mine years ago telling me about calling coyotes. Any of you know anything about calling coyotes? Amen. We used to do that out there in the reservation. And he remembers telling me, he said, they had this one foggy morning. He said, fog was real thick, couldn't see far. He said, they went up on top of a mesa out there. And he said, man, they set up their distress rabbit. And they begin to call in coyotes, see what they could call in and shoot. At that time, there was a bounty on coyotes out there in the reservation. I think it was like $60 a pelt. And so, man, they were excited about that. And they said, man, we're going to call in something. He said, it was foggy thick. You couldn't see far. He said, man, he was sitting here and he turned on the distress rabbit. He started waiting. He's sitting there. He said, man, and he said, I'm trying to look out. He said, man, the ground was probably only that much. And he said, I probably only could see about 10 feet ahead of me, 11 feet. He said, I couldn't really tell. He said, man, I was sitting there. He said, man, we kept hearing a call. He said, after a while, I heard this strange sound. It just went. He said, man, like an aircraft or something. He said, man, that's weird. He said, after a while, it started getting louder and louder. He said, dawned on him. He said, man, that thing's, whatever it is, it's flying toward us. He said, about that last minute, he said, an eagle broke through the fog in front of him. And I mean, he said, man, it scared me, scared the eagle. He said, man, because I'm sure he was looking for that distressed rabbit. But he said, man, he said, it found me. And he said, seen there, and it just, he said, man, I didn't know what to do. Amen. The man. And what a story there. You know, them eagle, man, a lot of majestic, our country. It's their symbol for their bird. Amen. And he's talking about, man, how that eagle feeds its young for the first part of its life. And then after a while, man, them eaglets, man, they've grown up. Man, they've not only gotten out of their shell, now they start able to flap their wings. And, man, they start able to develop their muscles and all the feathers and everything's growing out on them. The Bible says there, after a while, the mother knows when those young eagles need to learn how to fly. So what does she do? She starts getting around that big nest. And I don't know if you've ever seen an eagle nest. Out in the reservation, we hiked a lot of places, a lot of them mesas and top layers. I remember coming upon one place, man. I mean, probably almost as big as half of this room here. I mean, huge. We come up on top of this mesa way out there. And, I mean, one of these rock escarpments out there. And, I mean, it was huge. I mean, just all sorts of twig, branch, everything just broken up. And I'm thinking, my goodness, what is this? And the guy's with me. He said, these are eagle's nests right here. We need to leave. Let's go. You know, we don't need to mess them up here. And what they did is, man, that thing was huge. And there's a lot of room in there. And they were high up there. I don't know if you all know about the up there in the southwest. I mean, near the Four Corners, that place called Shiprock. There's that big, big, huge rock out there called the Shiprock. My cousins up there, they said, there's big eagle nests. He said, they're just on the sheer drop-offs. You get to the top, and he said, they're up there. What that eagle, mother eagle does, when she realizes it's time for them to start learning how, she'll go over there and she'll, man, start fluttering around and just, man, just doing all sorts of weirdness. And where the eagle, like, whoa, 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 what's it doing? What are you doing? It's kind of like the little eagle saying, mom, settle down, cut it out. And man, the mother eagle, man, she's flapping her wings and just starts breaking up things. She starts breaking up all the nesting area. It's no longer, man, a nice place for it to lay down anymore. Now they have to get out. And next thing you know, man, they get up to that edge and they begin to look and they're like, man, what's happening? And it's almost as if she pushes them and stirs them up to the point where, man, they start falling out. And they start just flapping all crazy. And man, they start flapping and man, I mean, they don't get it. And by that time, man, just about the time before they're going to hit the ground or, man, danger, man, they say, man, that mother eagle comes down, swoops underneath, picks them up, and then carries them back. The whole idea, what was that for? It was, man, to get that little eagle a taste of something. Man, next thing you know, doing the same thing. And slowly, every day, she goes home, she starts taking the twigs. Everything she did to make that nest comfortable, now she's doing the opposite, to make it uncomfortable.
She don't want them just hanging around there. She wants them to be bothered and not feel good laying down, not feel good there. And next thing you know, she does the same thing, stirs them all up, feeding them. And next thing they fall off and they start flapping. Somewhere in that whole idea there, them young eaglets, they begin to understand. They spread their wings and hold it out. And about that time, they begin to soar. And whew, they come catch up. Mother's still watching, making sure. And then, man, they start going. They start flapping. And then they realize they can do it. Next thing, they start coming back. Then after a while, they don't come back no more. See, what was the whole idea of that? The mother eagle stirred up her nest. For what reason? So that those eagles could go out and learn and begin their life on their own. Amen? You say, what was that whole idea there, man? That's what the Lord used that analogy here in this passage. He used that passage here to say, hey, same thing I did for the nation of Israel. He said, I wanted them men to be stirred up and their nest to be stirred up. I tried to get them all there. Amen? And I want to preach a little bit, just three main points here tonight. And I want to give you some thoughts on this here tonight. First off, I want to say, man, one of the things that God here, when he stirs up your nest, one of the things that he's trying to do is this here. He's trying to get you to examine your purpose in your life. Examine your purpose. See, what do you mean examine your purpose? Get them to realize, hey, you're not made to be eating in the nest. Although I'm feeding you here. You're not made to be having all this thing. Nation of Israel, they've gone here, right here, the book of Deuteronomy. They've come through 40 years of travels. They've come through 40 years, God delivering them from Egypt. And man, they've marched, and every morning they've had manna, and they've had quails taking care of them. They have water. God has provided for them every day for 40 years. And I mean, God said, you know what? You guys are not made to march around here. You're not made to be hand-fed, spoon-fed manna every day. He said, there's a reason why I'm going to stir you up. I want you to get you to see it's your purpose not to be hand-fed, but you not to go on and do something for me. Amen. The same way I look at that, God has that for you and I. Sometimes troubles in our life, when trouble comes, we look at trouble and think that, oh, all these troubles, preacher, and I just got all these troubles. And do you realize tonight, maybe them troubles tonight is God trying to stir up your nest tonight? He's trying to get you to examine your purpose. Tonight, God has a purpose for every one of you. I believe that, man, one of the first things is that every one of you be saved. Amen. I mean, if you haven't been saved, then don't worry about the rest of the purposes for your life, because that would be the number one tonight. Amen. I mean, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants all to be saved. And that Bible says there after that, who will have all men to be saved. One of that first thing, your purpose, you're saved. Then after that, God wants you to serve him. God wants you to serve him a specific place. And God wants you to, man, to be filled with his spirit. So you exercise them spiritual gifts and minister to the body of Christ. And man, to be a witness to the lost and dying world. In what capacity? Well, you'll never know until God stirs up your nest. Sometimes God got a man just stir up all that comfort for you. Why? He's trying to get you to examine your purpose. Your purpose is not to be hand-fed. You look at them little eagles here. I wrote some things down about them little eagles, man. Them little eagles, they were meant to fly, not to walk. They were meant to hunt, not to be hand-fed. They were meant to soar, not to slouch. Amen. They were meant to see with their great eyesight. Not to stare and gaze off. You know, they had their claws, their talons was meant to grab and to snatch, not to hang on. Amen. The young eagles need to realize all these things that I have, they're meant for a purpose. They're not meant so that, man, I could just look good and look cool. Amen. I mean, well, you know what? I know why I'm here. I'm just so I can fill a place. No, that ain't it. We're not here to look good on this world. God has a purpose for all of us. And sometimes that trouble that God sends to your life there, it's to get you to realize, hey, well, what am I doing then? Amen. Am I doing what God wants me to do? Amen. You know, sometimes, man, we don't want to go out and step out by faith and go out and do something, man, and instead step out for the Lord and say, man, I don't know, preacher. That's just rough, man. I don't know about, man, living for the Lord like that. You know what happens? Sometimes God starts sending you troubles. Amen. See, we don't like to think God will do that, but I believe he does. He stirs up your nest.
What's he trying to do? I believe this. He's trying to get you, man, to realize, hey, what's your purpose? Examine your purpose. Are you doing what God wants you to do with your life?
Or are you just kind of floating through?
I think of America and our country right now. Look at America. You say, man, what's America? Man, I think she's lost her purpose. Amen. You say, a lot of these things going on in our country. Maybe some of that God trying to stir up. And I say, hey, you know what really bugged me last year? All that stuff we had going on. And Christians were weeping over the president lost the election. And I'm like, all right, why don't we have people weeping about, man, the sin in our country and how things falling apart. Man, how that there's some kind of disease here that we're not all understanding. And man, say, God, what's wrong? Man, is this a pestilence sent from you? Dear God, do we need to get right? Why weren't Christians doing that? Their biggest cry was, oh, he lost. And his election was stolen. I was like, come on, man. There's greater things than that here. Maybe some of that stuff's, man, to get us to examine our purpose again as Christians, to get us to realize, hey, we're a Christian nation. Hey, you know what? Knowing that, but hey, we're born again believers. We love God. We love this Bible. Maybe it's time again we sound out the gospel trumpet. Hey, man, God wants you to get you to see those things. What was he doing, man? You know, let me ask you this. What is your reactions when God begins to deal with you about things? How do you react when you get trouble in your life? That'll be a telltale tale of where you're at with God.
When you have troubles, is it like first thing you do, is it, man, make you break down and cry? Amen? That's young people, man, little children, and, man, you'd give them tasks, and some, oh, I don't want to do it. And then they kind of like start crying when you try to, I can't do it.
And you're just trying to say, hey, man, this is how you change a tire. This is how you check oil. Amen? This is how you take the trash out. This is how you dig a fence post. My dad's telling me about some young man he's teaching out there to dig fence posts. He said, give them posts. He said, we're trying to give them their PhD, amen, post hole digger degree. He said, but man, they ain't got no idea how to do it. He said, man, they're over there just, man. Once I showed them, then I gave them one. He said, I went over here. He said, a grown man and a teenage boy. He said, while they worked on one hole, he said, I had two dug. And I came back to him and I said, come on now, get with it. I said, man, that's pretty bad, Dad. You're 67. You're out working, teenager and a grown man. I said, man, I don't know, man. Amen. But I think about that. You know, how's your response to distress in your life? Struggles. Is it break down and cry? Is it, man, just quit and give up? So I ain't going to do that no more. I ain't going to try no more. That's just hard. Well, yeah.
I learned this, man. Anything we're having in this life, it's going to be hard. Amen. Bible said Elijah told Elisha, thou hast asked a hard thing. Thank God he did. Amen. Where are all the Christians? I want to know where that. Lord, let me have the hard things. Give me something that's hard. Amen.
He did, man. And he gave him that hard thing. Man, do you break down hard? Or do you kind of like, man, well, let's bear down and get into this. What's your reaction? You complain? Amen. Just start saying, well, it's not like this. And man, I wish this was better. And I wish that was better. I'm like, come on, man. Let's not complain. Maybe under your breath, yeah. But man, just, man, suck it up. Let's go. Amen. Here, what is the reaction to stress in your life when all the struggles come? Maybe God is trying to get you to realize, examine your purpose. Say, hey, this is not what you were created for. You're not created just to sit around and not do anything. You're created, man, to do something for me. Amen. I want you to, man, to serve me. See, the eagle was born to fly.
The eagle was born to soar, not just to kind of hang out and be hand-fed.
God wants you to examine your purpose. Now, think about your life. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Do you know you're fulfilling God's purpose for your life? You say, well, I don't know. Well, I encourage you not once you find out. Maybe some of them struggles that you're facing tonight, it might be because, well, I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing. Man, I'm glad if you're saved tonight. Praise the Lord.
Man, now what's the next step? What's after salvation, man? I mean, getting baptized, getting to church faithfully, man. Start reading your Bible. Start praying. Learn how to witness to folk, man. Giving your church. Give to missions, man. Being involved in the work of God. What more can I do to help my church? What can more to help my preacher? Amen. How can I learn these things right here? Do you know those things? Or is it just kind of like, well, you know, they all do that.
I remember the story of my dad when growing up. You know, my dad grew up, my dad was a preacher. And I remember this lady, you know, just
my dad pick her up and for church, and he'd haul of us, some of these one of the ladies, and she'd always say stuff at church, wow, this and that. And my dad say, he'd say, man, why do you always ask me for all the help with problems? She'd say, well, you're the church man. You're supposed to do it. Amen. A lot of times that's how people are. Well, you're the church man, Brother Walker. I mean, you're supposed to do it. Amen. Well, no. Some of you have a purpose here. You got purpose for things doing your life here. Some of them struggles you're facing there. God trying to stir up your nest. He's trying to get you examined. Are you doing what he wants you to do? Could you do more? Could you get ready and learn how to fly for God? Amen. So number one here, one reason why we get trouble here in our life here is that so that we might examine our purpose. Number two here, God stirs up our nest for this next reason, so that we may extend our faith. Extend our faith.
What do you mean by that, man? So, man, that you would just step out by faith. Now, think about them little eaglets. They're here on the nest. They were in comfort. They were, man, they were being fed. Now they're on the edge. And now, man, they look down and they're like, woo, it's a long way down. See, they don't think that. Well, yeah, this is me. I mean, I'm thinking for them. They're like, man, that's a long way down. Oh, mama, don't be getting too stirred up now, mama. I might fall.
The whole idea is what? To extend your faith. I want you to fly. I don't know how.
Well, go ahead and try. Look what the verse says. The verse says this there. It says there, eagles stir up nest, flutter over young, spread the broader wings. And notice there, taketh them, beareth her on wings. He said, hey, I'm doing all this for your benefit, but also I want you to trust me.
I'm not just doing this so you can fall and die, crash and burn.
Amen. I'm doing this so, man, your faith will begin to be extended. It'll grow out. It'll do more. Right now, man, we got enough faith to trust God with our soul, man, to know God saved us. But how much more faith can we have for God? Preacher preached on this morning. Excellent message there, man. It may be. God will bless. Maybe not. But man, we'll never know. We'll never know until, man, we just jump off and say, here we go, let's find out. Amen. I believe in that. Amen. I grew up that way. And man, and my wife and I, brother, I mean, you have no idea. God used me blessing us today. That message really helped my wife and I. Because man, some things and it was actually the exact passage of scripture I used with her. She was asking me, what do you think about all this? And I said, it may be. It may not be. But we're going to find out. Amen. God may get in it. He may not. But I don't know.
Amen. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about foolishness. And I'm talking about, man, just wanting to do something for God.
I mean, I want to see God's work grow. I want to see the people of God get help. I want to see lost get saved. I want to see missions be extended. I want to see our Christianity, our way of Christianity. I want to see it continue to go on. Man, I know the Lord's coming, and man, I don't know if he comes to, man, I'd love for him to come tonight. I don't know if he comes next week, next month, next year, or man, 10 years down the road. But in the meanwhile, man, I want, man, our way of Christianity not to die out. Amen. I don't want contemporaries and get in so much that it contaminates everything. Everybody forgot, man, the old-fashioned Christianity. Amen. I'm not living in the past, brother, amen, but I do have the past living in me. Them old men of God, man, taught us and preached to us, man, how to serve God. And of course, because of that, man, some of them, I want to keep going. This going, amen. Man, the old man taught us the book, the Bible, man, and showed us how to, man, to rightly divide and showed us how to, man, to serve God, amen. Some of these old men of God showed us some things about serving the Lord. And man, you say, preacher, I just don't know if that'll work anymore. I know, I don't know either, but I'm going to try. You'll never know. The whole idea of God stirring up your nest, man, he wants to get you to, man, to extend, man, your faith. You'll never know. And you know what, man? You'll never know what will happen.
You know what the good part about that was? God knows when to stir up your nest.
You know, he never stirred up the nest of them young ones there when they were stealing the eggs. The egg needed, man, that
warmth of the mother. Amen? Man, and I don't know if you know anything about eggs, you know, eggs breaking open. They told us, man, young man, when we grew up on a farm, I did, with chickens. They said, if you ever see a chicken busting out an egg, don't help it. Just let it bust out the egg. You're like, why?
Because the struggle helps it. Amen. Same way with a cocoon, man, of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. You don't help it. That struggle of it fighting and trying to get all out, what? Prepares it for the next stage. Same way in Christianity, a lot of these struggles, man, a lot of times God, He sends all these struggles here, man, so that we can get ready for the next stage and be dependent upon Him. God knows when to stir it up. He knows, man, it's not, some of you, I'm not going to stir it up right now. Some of you, He's stirring it up. Why? He said, right now is your time. Now you're able, your wings be able to spread abroad. Your eyesight is there, man. Your talons are sharp. He said, man, you know what? You're able to see the prey. You've got a taste for that, for the meat. Man, he said, why don't you go ready to send you out there? God knows that. He sends you at the right time. But not only that, man, he sends you at the right time. But also, man, if we do, man, you know what he says there? He said, I'll bear thee up. He said, preacher, what if I mess up? Well, then God come right under. You want to learn this? Your heart, man, don't let your heart go bad. Keep your heart right with God. And keep your motives pure with God. Because sometimes, even though we make a mistake, when God sees the motive and the purity of your heart, God will help you anyway. Yeah. Amen. What's the idea of best intention? Man, that's what we had, man. I wanted the work of God to go on. I want, man, to see people saved. I want to see people hear the gospel. I want to have people, man, be able to hear the gospel. Man, be able to get involved in the work of God. Amen. It wasn't a motive to promote me or to make us look good. It wasn't a motive, man, to build a reputation or, man, it doesn't matter to me. I want, like he says, more, man, I want God to get that glory. Amen. God, man, he comes down, he swoops down, gets underneath. And I'm thinking about that, man. I'm thinking about Peter. Getting out of the boat. Man, all that distress and all that struggles of the storms of life caused him. You know what Peter realized? He said, you know what? It's a lot safer out there where he's at than when you're all in here. I think a lot of times we need to realize that, man. You know, sometimes there's some things we're hanging on to. Amen? When God challenges us, you know what we need to think about? Which one is holding you back from extending your faith? Is it reluctance to let go, or is it resistance to the new? When you don't want to go out for God, which one's holding you back? Is it you're reluctant to let go of the old, or you're resistant to try to do anything new for God? Those both will keep you from standing your faith. Sometimes we're just hanging on, saying, "No, I can't." I'll be honest with you tonight. There's some things in my life I can see specific stages, and even my wife sees it. I'm thankful for her. Amen. I mean, she says, "I know it's hard for you to let go of certain things." I said, "Yeah, I know." Amen. See, I'm glad we don't think. I'm glad men and women don't think the same, and I'm glad my wife and I are not the same.
Yes.
These men that say that, well, me and my wife, we're about the same. I'm like, don't say that out loud, amen. That's not a good thing to say out loud. You should be a little bit contrary and different about things. Amen. I mean, there's those times she says, oh, babe, you're just hanging on. You just need to let go and God's going to bless. And God, amen. Then there's those times when she's hanging on to something too. And I said, babe, it's time for you to let go. Amen. I'm glad we're not both hanging on at the same time to things. Amen. She's trying to encourage me. But sometimes, man, stepping out by faith and going forward is, I can't let go of security. I can't let go of comfort. God says, you'll never know until you let go. Or, man, is it just the being resistant to that new? Like, oh, I don't think. No. You got no idea. God says, I want you to soar. Man, them eagles, man, I want you to soar. No, we like the nest. God says, no, go ahead and fly. Go ahead and fly. No, we like the nest. No, go ahead and fly. Go ahead and fly. And they scream, they holler, ah, we're about to die, man. By that time, man, all of a sudden they spread their wings. Can you imagine what that feels like for them eagle? They're falling, man, they're falling. And, man, all of a sudden they hold out their wings and all of a sudden the wind catches it right with that whole thing about flying, you know, lift and drag and all that stuff. How that, you know, we learned that in school. But that time, it just catches it at the right time, just whoop, and just whoop. That feeling like, whoa,
Man, I never knew we could do this. Amen. What God trying to do? Trying to get you to embrace something, man, to step out for Him. God has specific timing for that for you in your life. Get you to depend more on Him. He says, I know the timing's right. I know when we need to do this. He said, I know when you're ready. Amen. One man said this. I like this in reference to something else, and I wrote it down. He said this, faster than my fall. Amen. Faster than my fall is my Heavenly Father.
Man, ain't nothing more faster than that, man. He's there to get you and bear you up. He said, I'll be here.
I'll be here, man, to lift you up. I'll be here to catch you, man. I'll be here whenever you need, man. I'm here behind you. What you got to do, man, when you got to extend that faith, a lot of times it's really we're abandoning our own will. We're just kind of saying, well,
I know I think I got it figured out, God, but here we go.
Amen. Being saved, man, for, like I said, a couple years from now. Now it's 38 years now, man. That's a long time, he said. I never thought. So like some of you young kids here, I always hear a preacher, man, I've been saved 30 years, 40 years. Now look at them and think, man, he's old. First thing I think, he's old. Man, he's been saved that long, man. You know anything? No, he's old. I said, man, I think that'll never be me. Sure. Here it is, man, about to say, man, been saved that long. I'm like, man. And you know what happens to me a lot of times? Because I grew up in church. I try to figure out things, and I try to, then I like to say, you know what, I got this figured out. I know what we're doing. You want to learn with God? God, a lot of times, He don't give us the blueprint for all of it. He still wants us to depend on Him. And there's still times, even, man, being saved as long as I have been, and some of you have been saved as long as you have, God still puts you at an edge and says, all right, now, fly. And you're like, no, Lord, this is not how it works. You don't understand. You see, we got to pray, we got to do it fast, we do all this thing. And although we've been doing it, Lord, then this is how we got to approach this. And the Lord says, no, now. And you're like, oh. There's still time, man, we stand there on the edge and kind of trying to figure it out. You got to abandon that will and just say, all right, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Complete confidence in Him. Just say, Lord, I'm doing this because I trust in you. Last I checked, God, this is what you said.
That's all I know. Amen. People always ask me, man, how do you end up, man, over there in Alabama?
Because our last time, man, the God spoke to my heart. I was reading a passage. He said, man, get thee and eastward. That's what I remember. Now, He's not telling you to do that, but, man, that's where I heard it. That's where I heard just as clear as day, get thee eastward. And I'm like, okay. God, because I believe you spoke to me out of that thing, that's what I'm going to try, God. And I'm worried, I'm concerned, I don't have it all figured out, but God,
amen.
Lord, I know Bible believers, man, we believe all godly movers move from east to west. Now me going west to east, that ain't right, amen. Actually, that was my mom's excuse, son. Don't you know in the Bible, everything goes from east to west? You're going the wrong way. That was real encouraging, amen. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Mom, for being behind me, believing what I was doing. It's complete confidence in the Lord, amen? Man, it's just, and knowing this, man, that's just that, you know, God loves me, and He wouldn't be doing this, man. He didn't care for me, amen? Amen. Let me say last of all here, it's not only to get you to, God stirs you up in your nest to extend your faith, but also to express your joy and praise. Your enjoyment of this life and the praise to God. The reason why I read you the last verse of chapter 31 was because to remind you, 32 is a song. And usually we sing songs to express our praise. Amen. We sing songs because, man, we like to. You ever catch yourself just humming something and just singing along? Usually it's because you're happy. And you're just like, man, whoo. And I'm one of them that gets up in the morning, I'll start singing. Amen. I mean, my wife, she goes, man, you got a song on your heart. I say, yeah, I do. And I like to say it's a good godly song every morning, but if I did, I'd be lying to you. Amen. So there's some songs I'm morning, I'll get it. But there's always a song. Amen. I'll sing something. And some morning, my wife is, amen, honey. And the other morning, she's just like.
But man, I got saw, man, and just happy in the morning, going around, getting going and things going on. The same way, man, one of the things here, God serving, yes, he gets you to express your enjoyment, man, and then also your praises to him. You want to let God know, man, this is the best life there is. And you know how you know you express that when it's genuine? Go back to that moment there when that, man, eagle finally flies the first time. All that anger, maybe that hatred, that worry about, Mom, why'd you push me out? Why is this the way that is? Why is all that? Now it's changed. Woo, check this out, man. Man, this is great. Man, what's this feeling? Man, this is, man, this is what you want me to do all this time? Come back up. Man, that was awesome, man. I'd never seen that. I remember first time ever praying in my faith promise mission offering. Man, I was like probably 12 or 13. We heard old man God by the name of Billy Allen preach on, man, faith promise mission giving. Never even heard of that. Never even heard really of mission giving. I grew up in a church where, man, it was tithe, and that was all. We never heard of mission giving. Never heard of missionaries. Really, because we didn't meet any. And there was nothing wrong with that preacher. It was just a different crowd. But I remember, man, first time, man, he brought in a missionary. And first time that I heard a man preach about mission, man, my heart, we was in a camp all week. My heart was tore up. I was 12, 13. I was thinking, man, we're supposed to be doing this, man, to get people to the gospel. And, man, my heart was tore up. And then he began to preach on, man, how you ought to pray in your mission giving. And I'm thinking, man, I got no money. Then he'd give all these stories about how these young kids did that. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I guess I could do that. Now, you got to understand now, this is probably like in 1989, 1990. And right then, about 1989, 90, $5 meant something.
I know, it's like, right now, $5 is different. Like my cousin asked the lady at the restaurant one time.
She said, you got change for five? She said, around here, change is five. Amen?
But now, man, at that time, it was, Lord, I want to try this.
Will you give me five? Now put it in an offering for missions.
And I prayed and God sent me five. God sent me five. God sent me five. God, you know what? God didn't just send me five. God sent me 20. My dad started giving me allowance. $20 every week.
And I always liked the way he gave it. He'd give that $20 and put it in my hand. And as soon as I grabbed it, he'd hold on to it. He said, remember now, you give your tithe. How much is a tithe? I said, $2. Make sure you give that now. Then I would think, man. But then also, Lord's giving some money for, man, for mission. And I remember, man, I couldn't wait that morning when they were taking up mission offering. I was like, man, take it.
Yeah.
And when they came in, I was like, man, that was good.
See, why was that? Because something I prayed for.
Something I knew that God wanted me to do. Something I knew that, man, God gonna bless. Now, in my little small mind at that time, I'm thinking God's gonna use that five to feed 5,000 man people and get all the missionaries to the world. Great dreams.
But you know what? It was so great and fun. Couldn't help getting over it.
To this day, still like, amen, here we go. God loveth a cheerful giver.
Why, man? Because, man, there was something to this. God wanted you to push you out, stir up your nest to get you to express that joy and praise. Man, the Christian life is the best. Living by faith is the best. Oh, we got to have, I realize, and I'm not telling you to be foolish and go off and do something tonight because you heard this message.
I'm saying this, man, sometimes God's stirring you up, man, so that you might exercise some faith. And then when you've exercised that faith, you can go back and look, man, thank God. Amen. God pushed me to do that. Thank God. God stirred me up. Because, man, this is a great life. Man, it's great when you take a step and, man, he moves toward you. He said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. I'm glad when I take a step toward him, he comes toward me. Man, the closer, man, we get in our fellowship, the better this Christian life is. The more enjoyment I see in the things of God. Man, the more blessings I see. Man, what a great life. Amen. I'm telling you, man, I can't begin to tell you, man, how good it is to be a Christian.
Man, I made some mistakes along the way, but I'm here to tell you tonight, man, there's no regrets. Regrets over a different decision I should have made. But
I'll tell you what, there's no regrets, and I'm not regretting, man, getting saved. I'm not regretting serving God. I'm not regretting giving over to preaching. I'm not regretting none of that, man. I'm thankful. It's the best life, man.
Man, I've learned to trust them, and I've
seen him bless. I've learned to fly, so to speak, somewhat, man, and man, to soar for the Lord and say, man, God's done this for me. And I'm thankful. Maybe not some of that stirring around your life there. God is trying to get you to,
first of all, just examine your purpose and say, am I doing what I need to be doing for God?
Amen. God trying to stir up things around your life. What's he doing that for? Maybe just so you express that faith. Say, Lord God, I'm putting it in you. Amen. Extend that faith. Excuse me.
The last one, just so you can express your praise and joy. Just
not only life, but man, praise him. Say, God, thank you, man. Amen. Don't look at trouble as all bad and discouragement and say, man, America's full. But I realize that, man. But maybe God's trying to stir it up the nest here for believers in America.
Say, hey, there's something more we can do. Matt, the Lord don't come. We all same age group.
Do you realize all them old men of God that we looked up to here in a few years, we will be them?
Seriously. We will be those. Those we looked at them from teenage growing church and looked at the men, the old men of God and my heroes. We're that, man.
And it's going to be on us to take this to the rest of that world.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Church.
Man, you trust in the Lord. Amen. Put your faith in him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord God, for this opportunity to preach your word and to challenge your people. Lord, I believe this is something you've given to me, Lord God, but also it's something, Lord, I think you're trying to stir this church up about, Father. Lord, and I pray your blessing on, Lord God, and Lord, I know these people's hearts is at and their, Lord, where their lives are at, Father. But I pray, God, tonight, Lord, they would realize, Lord God, that, Lord, you got a purpose for their life, Lord God. And maybe tonight, I don't know, they got stuff hindering them, they're hanging on to, or whatever, Lord God, that's keeping them from, Lord, just stepping out by faith and helping to realize tonight, Lord God, you got something for them to do, Lord. But Lord God, they got to get where, Lord God, they let you work and stir them up, Lord God, and they got to, Lord, trust in you, Father, for things, Father, and answer some prayers and give them some scripture for things, Father. And God, I pray, Lord God, they'd find out what is this, the joy, Lord God, of serving you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name.